In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. You know what I really don't like? Is when I spend all week crafting a sermon that I think is great, and then on Sunday morning, realizing that God is telling me to do something else. That's a lot of work that was put into that. But I'm supposed to say a little something different here today. So follow me, if you will. Today, officially, is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. It's proper, I think, 28, if I'm correct on that bulletin. And we have been, this is one Sunday after what we celebrate as All Saints Sunday. In the ancient church, this, however, we would have marked as the beginning of Advent, which is interesting to me. We let Advent go until those 4 weeks immediately before Christmas now. But back in the day, this season of expectation was increased. It was a full 7 weeks. And the holdover from that is the fact that in our lectionary, we start getting a little darker. We start reading about these end times and the like. In our lesson today, Jesus, he almost flippantly just says, yeah, but this whole temple is going to go one day, and acts like it's not a big deal. And if you are some dedicated practicing Jew in the first century A.D., and someone says, yeah, but the temple is going to go away, you're going to freak out. I'm not quite frankly surprised that the disciples waited until later, whenever they go to the Mount of Olives and he's looking out onto the city, that they ask him, like, can you explain this a little more? Tell us a little more about what's happening. And then Jesus goes into this, this narrative about there will be wars and there'll be earthquakes and there'll be all of this sort of stuff. But that's just the beginning. Well, you know, Jesus, you're supposed to be the comforter. And really, that doesn't sound very comforting. It doesn't sound very settling to think of everything that you've known about your relationship with God is going to be destroyed, one. And two, whenever there's a bunch of wars and earthquakes and famine and all sorts of bad stuff, don't worry, it's going to get worse. Well, that's not helpful. So what is Jesus trying to say? I think he's trying to say two things. First, and foremost, whenever he's talking about the temple, that temple was destroyed. That temple was destroyed by the Roman army whenever the people of Israel revolted against Roman rule. It came crashing down, and the inhabitants of the city were either slaughtered or sold off as slaves and tossed to the far corners of the Roman Empire. And that began the Jewish diaspora across much of that part of the world. The temple, which has always been seen as the home of God, God literally dwelling in that space. We think of, you know, God's presence here in the church, but that's not how the ancient Jews viewed the temple. God was literally there. There was a part of the temple called the Holy of Holies, and that is where God dwelt in his glory right there. And only once a year could the high priest go in and offer any sort of sacrifice for the atonement of all the sins of the people. And as a matter of fact, if you read in the Old Testament, when the high priest would go in there, just in case he did something wrong and God struck him dead, they tied a rope to his leg so they could yank him out. Okay? Did y'all miss that in Sunday school lessons as a kid? It's a shame what we're teaching these days. The temple was where God was at. Literally, one of the names for it in Hebrew means the navel of the universe. That God is coming into the world at that place in Jerusalem. And to think that that's going to go away, that had to be completely shattering to these people. And then Jesus goes on later, of course, in his discourse, and he says, things are going to get weird. But then again, things had always been weird. If you look at the history of all of humanity, there's always been earthquakes, there's always been famine, there's always been war. Why? Because we live in a very broken world. That's just the reality of it. We live in a world where there are people who are imposters. We live today in a world where people will go on TV and announce that they know God's will, and it's really funny because it always seems to align with whatever it is that they want at that moment. So are we at the end times? As I told you, I think there were two things behind Jesus, what he was saying. The first is that the old way that we've done things has not worked. You've spent too much time thinking that offering up something here is somehow going to right your relationships with God and other people. And the reality is people were going in and it was like a business transaction. It was no longer a spiritual transaction. So the people of Israel were going in and saying, you know, I committed this sin. Here's half a turtle dove. All right, that's over. Good. I'm going to go back and sin. I'll be back with a donkey. You know, it doesn't make sense. You're not actually crafting right relationship between yourself or with God. It had become, in a sense, what God had always abhorred, an idol. And in this idolatrous world, where we could expect to experience all sorts of natural disasters and man-made disasters and all of this, we're going to look for answers. We're going to turn to some of these people who, and I'll use the term charlatans, who will go out and try to use God and God's name for their own personal advantage. And we've all heard about it. We've all seen it. You know, I read a study that had marked influential preachers in the last 100 years who had predicted the end of the world. And it was like 156 times in the last century that these people had said, well, the world is going to end on X, Y, and Z, or the rapture is going to happen on A, B, or C. And I'm sorry to tell you, either it didn't happen or none of us made it, okay? We don't know what is going to happen. We like to know. We like to have control over it. We like to feel like if I come to church, if I'm a good person, good things will always happen to me. And that would be lovely if it were true, but I have not seen that played out in reality. In a world that's going to hell in a hat box, okay, our study and our stay is not by showing up to church and acting like this is some sort of business transaction. It is, in fact, by having a relationship with God that no matter what happens to the body or in this world, we have a spiritual connection with the one who made us, created us, loves us, and sustains us. And it doesn't matter what sort of anxiety or insecurities that we may have in this life, God is present with us. And God loves us. God doesn't care about fancy things. God cares about human souls. You know, I had a friend who was always very antagonistic towards religion. And he said, you know, if churches were really true to themselves, they'd be having communion in Dixie cups and paper plates. And I said, well, you know, there is something to that. We could have communion. We could consecrate communion in little paper cups and paper plates. And if that's the best that we had to offer, God would sincerely love that. We put communion on these fine silver or gold vessels because it means that much to us. We do it for us, to remind us of what's important. But what is important to God is you, your soul, your peace. That's what God is wanting to look after, to reach through the universe and let you know. No matter what happens, no matter what sort of pestilence or famine or war or economic whatevers may happen, God loves us and sustains us. Our relationship with God is paramount to anything. And God loves us, not things. And we would do very well to remember the same. So in the modern church, we're not yet in Advent. But my brothers and sisters, I want you to be very attuned to the coming newness of God. The coming of God closer to us. Maybe we should go back to 7-week Advent. Maybe we should go back to that season of expectation. Maybe if we're living a good Christian life like we ought to, each and every single one of us ought to spend every day in expectation that our God can reach through time and space and touch us with new life, new opportunity, and hope. So let's try that, not just this week, but every day of our lives. Because God's goodness can break through in it. Amen.